Can't even find a little bread or bread.
This is funny.
What do they talk about?
Stupid. And then every shelf that has.
Get our meeting started. We'll stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Have the clerk call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Here.
Wise?
Here.
Ballinger?
Here.
Edmonds is absent. Srulik?
Here.
Entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting, March the 2nd.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Discussion? If not, call the roll again.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes.
I'll have the clerk read the bills and payroll.
General Administration, $2,543.66. Economic Development, $10. Police, $5,901.22. Fire, $4,810.27. Street, $14,465.92. Parks, $241.43. Liability insurance, $100. Garbage disposal, $85.47. Cemetery, $1,215.94. Water operations, $26,049.29. Sewer operations, $534.55. Warner Hospital and Health Services operating account, $445,091.98.
Thank you. Have a motion to approve the bills and payroll.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes.
I've got, Paul's going to come up this evening and talk to us about what we're doing at the hospital for the virus.
Good evening, folks. So today's news release, and this is an evolving situation, and we have to be very flexible with our response. Every single day we have to change, update our policies and procedures and emergency preparedness. So today's news was 12 new cases of coronavirus, and that's a total of 105 cases in 15 counties. One of those counties is Clinton County, not Clinton, Illinois. But we are preparing as if it will occur in DeWitt County. And so, as always, we're preparing for the worst and we're hoping for the best. But the escalation of cases, even before we're able to do proper testing, is such that we just have to assume once all the hospitals do have testing facilities and we're able to really see what the numbers are, that's out there, that the number of folks presenting themselves to the hospital could possibly be overwhelming, and therefore, you know, we are preparing well in advance for any possible patient surge, and we're following all CDC recommendations, screening procedures to inform those patients that really don't qualify for the test that you can't have the test. That by itself will be disturbing to some folks, but we're preparing for that kind of a surge in the weeks to come. So we're taking a lot of steps to restrict activity that's unnecessary activity at the hospital, as most of the hospitals are doing. Today we instituted, at the recommendation of the U.S. Surgeon General and Illinois Department of Public Health, we're no longer doing elective surgeries until the process is under control and the number of cases is on the decline rather than the incline. So elective surgeries will be postponed. For example, if you've been putting off having a colonoscopy for the last 2 years, diagnostic colonoscopy, you're going to be putting it off for a few more months because we're not going to do that kind of elective procedure. Number one, we're doing everything possible to reduce germ activity in the hospital, And number two, we're protecting as many supplies for the long haul that we can. And number three, we're trying to protect our staff and really restrict medical activity to only what's necessary. And therefore, that is one of the first steps. One of the second steps that's going on is restricting patient flow. So we are, we have implemented very restrictive visitor policies so that if your family member is in the hospital and it's a real emergency, one member of the family can visit that person. Or if there's someone in the emergency room that's a child, the parent can come in. Those are the kind of, you know, common sense restrictive measures that we're going to be taking. But in addition to that, we've also begun to stop every individual that enters the building, whether it's through admitting or whether it's through the emergency room or family medicine, and we're stopping them and requiring them to put a mask on so that we can reduce the transmission of any germs. And this kind of activity is only going to get heightened as each day goes on, because every day we have a call with the Illinois Department of Public Health after they get the direction from CDC on a daily basis, and it's only becoming more restrictive. So the next thing that we're doing in anticipation of a potential patient surge is we are preparing for forward triage. And that means that we may have to have some form of tent or some other kind of activity, or we might repurpose another room that might be used for another activity right now. Let's say in family medicine, perhaps we've got to carve out an area that is strictly for triaging patients that are here because they think they've got COVID-19. So forward triaging, we are examining a lot of options right now, but depending on what the situation is and how urgent it becomes, we are prepared for any kind of a patient surge. All right, those are the important factors. I expect this to change, and the urgency will accelerate, and so you will see a lot more restriction in your ability to access the hospital. That's a good thing. If you need health care, we're always there. But when the day comes that someone does test positive, what we're finding is what the health officials are finding is so far the symptoms are mild. 80% of those folks are told to go home and quarantine yourself. And so that is what we hope we're able to do, and that the public is cooperative in that manner as this thing accelerates. Any questions?
Anybody got any questions? Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
I guess today we got the executive order from the governor, which was closing the food service buildings. Did you get that out to the news media?
No, I did not, but I would imagine.
Have you guys got a copy of it?
Yeah, we've had it.
They've got it.
You have it? Okay. All right. Because there's a lot of questions that some of the food service people have, where they people can enter the building or not, and this and that. So most of them I've told to call the DeWa County Piatt Health Department for directive on what they should do and what they not. Well, we got a reappointment to the Fire Pension Board.
Yeah. Motion to reappoint Brandon Robinson to the Fire Pension Board, said term to expire April 1st, 2022.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Any discussion? If not, call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Report from the Streets and Public Improvement.
Just a couple things. The guys are out this week picking up brush. We've already gone through zones 1 and 2, so we will not go back through that. We're just going through the zones. Noticing people are not putting their leaves in bags. We will not pick those up. They have to be in bags. We will be putting out notices for the people that are doing this to give them some notice. Also, I've noticed a couple places where people are putting stuff in bags, but they're putting plastic bags inside. And the guys are telling me they're finding some bags with garbage in. We will not pick those up. So, but that's pretty much I've gotten. Steve's wanting to tell him up and talk to about the Center Street project. Get some information on that.
We got several items to go through, and Cheryl thinks I've just made it very confusing, so I'll try to clean it up a little bit for you. Because she's probably right. If she says it's confusing, it probably is. There's a few items that we need to go through, and I just need to get some direction on. But we did go to bid through the state letting, and you've got kind of a summary sheet in front of you. We had estimated that this project was going to come in just slightly over $1 million, and that's what we had planned for. As you can see, there was one bid from Illinois Valley Paving. They were the one and only bid, and they came in at almost $1.5 million. Why that happened, your guess is as good as mine. We have tried to figure it out. We have talked to the contractor. You know, whether it's just the uncertainty of the economic situation right now, what's going on, we have no idea. But the bottom line is, being $500,000 beyond, we're not in a position financially to move forward with that, even on the 80-20 split. Because once we get to construction, we'll be using an 80-20 federal match kind of thing. But that, as you can see, that still takes us up to almost $97,000. That's just not what we had planned on. We had planned on about $200,000 total. So anyway, that being said, you've got one item that's coming up in new business. It's the bid for the Center Street project. And what I'm suggesting you do, or recommending, is that you reject that bid. It's just too high, and the state agrees with that. It is too high. Okay. So that's the new business. On the unfinished business part, we do have the construction engineering agreement that went on file at the last meeting, that once we get this project ready, we've got to have construction inspection services. That's what that contract is for. That's in your unfinished business that was on file last time, so I'll be asking you to take action on that. But we also have a third thing. Because of having to reject this, we were at the end of the design phase and getting this to bid. We had spent all the money for engineering there, and it's going to take an additional $3,900 to redesign, refigure, run this back through the bid process. So Cheryl's got that as well. There's a third thing that's just going on file tonight. There's no urgency with that at all. We can run it through the normal process. What I need from you guys tonight, though, is, as you can see in the options, we've kind of got several potentials there, but what we need to do is try to get this back closer to the $1 million range. It's not exactly what any of us wanted, but here we are. One of the things that we seemed to have some issues with, and one of the things that IDOT does until you actually award bids, they will not give us the unit prices specifically. You've all seen those after the fact where all the items are laid out. Their policy is they won't do that. We did speak to them, though, and at least get some generalized numbers. One of the things that came up off was the asphalt pricing, which, as you all know, oil has, the bottom has dropped out on. If anything, those prices should have been lower, but they're significantly higher than what we had estimated, and we actually estimated high. So we know we have an issue there, but that's the issue. Another thing they had looked at, in an effort to keep the project manageable, we were trying to keep areas of curb out there that's pretty good. And that led to some short pieces. And I think Roger can relate that sometimes short pieces are more labor-intensive than doing long, and that seemed to catch their attention. So we're looking at removing those short sections, lengthening them so there'll be less labor involved, just more concrete. Those are the things that are driving this. But what you have there is there's three different options. We're going to shorten the sections and try to correct that in the concrete curb and gutter area. But you have some options, the 3B, 3C, or 3D. My preferred option is we will go ahead and we will pave South Center. We'll get North Center all ready and tie it all back in, but we will just remove that resurfacing for now. That appears, based on the numbers that we were able to get from the bid tabs, you know, that looks like that could save us around $363,000. That gets us back into the park of where we're at, and yet we'll still get part of the job resurfaced because South Center, quite frankly, the pavement there is in worse condition. You could flip that, but as you see, if we do north and not south, if we eliminate the south and stay north, you're only going to gain about $185,000, and that's probably not going to get us close enough to where we need to be. You could eliminate all the pavement. That takes out over $500,000. That definitely gets you back into the range, but the fact of the matter is we need to try to exercise all the dollars we can because of the FAU portioning here. Because anything we don't pave now, we're going to have to pave down the road and relatively soon. And we'll be doing that all with local dollars or MFT funds altogether. So I would like to try to leave that. But the takeaway is we can't resurface anything without getting the ADA compliance and getting the concrete up to speed. So at a minimum, we have to address that before we can fix that road. But what I would recommend at this point is I would kind of like to have some leeway to where we look at just eliminating the pavement on the north. We'll still pave the south. And as we put that together, if we realize it's just not going to get us there, we may have to take out all the pavement and just do the concrete. But I'm looking to you for guidance on this and what your preferences are.
I'm thinking your plan sounds good.
Yeah, I go along with that.
Okay.
Resurface south, not the north.
Everything right. Roger, what do you think?
It's a shorter distance.
Yeah, it's the shorter distance and the worst pavement structure. I mean, north is, in a perfect world, we wanted to do it all and get it done, but it's just not going to happen. And I wish it had, but that's kind of where we're at. This would get us back to, we're going to try to get into the April letting. It's April 24th, because another thing that had the contractor a little nervous, we wanted it done before Apple and Pork. We still need work up in that end done before Apple and Pork, but one of the things we've looked at changing is only making the north end, whatever work's taking place north of the square, needs to be completed. As long as we don't have gaping holes or problems on the south end, if they were still working on the south end, it wouldn't be as devastating. And hopefully, maybe by making this more of a concrete job as opposed to mainly asphalt, maybe that opens it up to other contractors. Because we've got to get more than one bid. That's not a good way to go, because the contractors realize they can frankly ask how many bids were out. There were two taken on this, but the second contractor was out of the region and just decided he didn't want to. He's used to working with a certain union hall and didn't want to work with the locals. That was the reason he gave for not bidding. But if you guys are okay with moving ahead with changing the plans, getting it ready, and trying again in April, because if we miss the April letting or things go bad in it, we've got to kind of rethink where we're going. But there's a lot of problems with that, because we've got a lot of temporary easement work that we've already done that will expire. We'd have to do all that again to just shelve the project. Again, we've already spent a lot of money to get to this point, so to start out completely would be a big problem. But as you all have seen just lately, there's forces out there beyond our control right now, and we're doing the best we can. But I can tell you that on our estimate, just for clarity, IDOT even suggested we bump that a little bit because they were afraid things were going to be volatile. So we increased our estimate quite a little bit, and then we still ended up here. So I'm not going to say I know what's going to happen next time, but we have to attempt something.
Well, we're limited to contractors, too.
We are.
We just keep losing them all the time.
We do, and this is a big enough job that it's just too big for a small contractor, unfortunately, and that kind of limits the pool.
Does your engineering company help you find another company?
We have gone through, I mean, frankly, I've not seen this in all the other IDOT bids at that time. You know, they received five or six bids. Why we only got the one, I don't know. There were at least one contractor in the area that didn't bid it, and I'm not sure why. But they will get a direct contact now and make them aware of this project and try to get them interested.
I thought, you know, Cummings ought to, you know, make a better effort to get that other bid.
Well, as I say, Roger, I just feel like usually on the state bids, you see them. I mean, there's all kinds of contractors on those.
Yeah.
And we anticipated that, but it just didn't happen. So this time we're going to have to be a little more aggressive and go out and actually beat the bush and try to get some contractors involved. Mm-hmm. And changing the scope may help with that.
Okay.
So everybody's good with redesigning and moving ahead. I don't have it completely confused now. You know what's coming. And, okay.
Yeah, we're just...
Cheryl, are you good?
We're placing on file your other engineering.
Yeah, that supplement just goes on file, and the other you already had before you, that was for construction inspection. Mm-hmm. So, and we're still going to hope that we have a project to inspect later this year. That's the goal.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve.
Public property?
I do not have a whole lot. Lloyd Francis, a lot of you do know, and he had surgery. Went through that fine, still home with a lot of pain, but healing and doing better, and we're hoping that he'll get all up and around and do much better, but don't want him back on the job. I don't want him down there doing anything until he gets all mm-hmm. better, because I don't want him messing that shoulder up again. The other guys are doing a good job of maintaining and making sure everything's getting done, and we just got good crew all the way around. If there's any help he needs, Kenny's guys will come and help, and it's just tit for tat, so everything's been going smoothly, and I'm just glad the way it worked. And on Paul in the hospital, I've had to go out there a few times in the last week, and it's encouraging to see that you do put those things forth, because before you even get by that first desk, I think those girls would tackle you. And they are asking you questions, making sure you haven't been any out of the country, have anybody that you've been in contact with, ask a lot of questions, and they really don't let you get by that desk until you answer those questions and you pretty much sign in blood that everything's good. So that's encouraging, you know. And then I had a mother-in-law that got in a wreck. Your emergency department was just really, really good with her, the ambulance drivers and all that. I appreciate the guys there, and the police department, everybody that was there were just super, super nice and efficient, and greatly appreciate that. It put her at ease, and she wasn't going to go, and I got hit up by a police officer, a fireman, and the ambulance driver. You need to talk your mother-in-law into going to the hospital. And you didn't have any luck. What do you think I'm going to have? You know, she did go, did get checked out. Everything was good, and just from top to bottom, you know, being included right there on the spot to see how the people work in this town together is very, very encouraging. So, the COVID-19, I think we've got good hands. I think we're going to do a really good job in trying to contain it the best we can for a little small hospital, and. I feel very confident because you got some really good staff that really do their job and they take it serious. They are very heartwarming to go out there and do that, and I appreciate that. And all the departments, I thank you for the attention you gave my mother-in-law, because that was really needed for her, and she was shook and upset, and you really relayed that message. You were there to help, so thank you very much for that, and thank you for the way you treat me when I go out there. So other than that, I don't have any more.
Thank you. Health and safety.
We, like Paul, have been very busy working on the virus that's going around, and we spent all day today putting things in place. Also, the fire department is on a lockdown because we need to keep people from exposing us exposing each other. So we're very limited in how our firemen are not coming and going unless it's necessary. You will see us responding with littler crews. But what we need to get to the public, you may see the firemen around town at calls with white suits on and suits on. Don't be alarmed. It's not a major issue. We're just protecting our people so they don't get contaminated in case it is. It's not saying it is. It's a precaution. And the public needs to know that. Don't get on Facebook and say, oh, it's all the white suits. It's something bad. It's not that. Because a lot of this with, and I hate to say it, the news has got a lot of people running in seven directions. And we all need to step back and do what the health department and them are telling us to do. And isolate, clean your hands, and do everything that they're recommending. And we can save getting to Paul with a lot of it. And also, Paul, you guys, if you need a staging area, we can offer our hazmat tent to set up out there, which is heated, cooled, whatever it needs. It's a big room that we can put out there. So it's precautionary. We have it here in Clinton, and we can put it up in no time for you. So
thank you, Dan.
That's available also. And just to let the public know, we're prepared also. Ben has been working on it, I know, just as well as everybody else, and I'll let him say anything if he's got it.
I really don't have anything to add, just to echo what, you know, we're taking the precautionary measures with the equipment that we do have. I've worked with Jay from the emergency room to be able to supply us with a couple extra things that we needed, and just being vigilant and minimizing our non-essential contacts, and just kind of keeping up to date day to day as to what more we can be doing, what more, you know. So same thing, Commissioner Ballard. Everybody stay safe.
And that's pretty much all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Got anything from Tom or Tim?
No.
Nothing? Okay. We'll move down to the unfinished business, which is we got the Cummings Engineering.
Motion to approve the construction engineering service agreement for the Center Street project with Cummins Engineering Corporation.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion been made and second. Any other discussion? Call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Srilek?
Yes. We need a motion on the rejection of this one bid, Tim?
Yeah.
Need a motion on it?
Mm-hmm. Motion to reject the sole bid submitted by Illinois Valley Paving for construction of the Center Street project.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Any other discussion on it? Everybody understands the project went over. Call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srilek?
Yes. And then you got a the one you want to put on file. You want to read what it is?
The preliminary engineering service agreement supplement for Center Street project.
Okay. We're going to place it on file. And we got one other article to place on file. It's ordinance creating Chapter 3 of Title 6 of the non-highway vehicles. We're going to wait till we got all of our commissioners present when we discuss that ordinance. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Srilek?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.